and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 30, the Bible says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? She said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knee, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her husband, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, With great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, A troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. She said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, Thou must come unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endured me with good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph and said, The Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go into my own place, into my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. He said, Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how the cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep the flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day he-goats that were ring-staked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Jacob took him a rod of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. The flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring stakes, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock toward the ring strake and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle of the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and asses. Father, please help me tonight. I'm certainly dependent upon you. A lot of things here. I pray that you'll give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech and clarity of mind. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot there. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, to be quite frank with you. I am not a shepherd of any. I am not a shepherd. I do not know how to take care of sheep. I don't know how to wool sheep. I don't even know that I know how to feed a sheep. But I do know that these sheep here have some interesting things going on. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We're going to talk about basically two characters tonight. We're going to talk about Rachel, and we're going to talk about Jacob. What about Rachel? The first thing that I want you to see about Rachel's life, and you see this in the chapter, is I see that Rachel has some wrong thinking. You know, wrong thinking usually leads to wrong actions. Stinking thinking is what you could call it. And a lot of times our thinking process leads to wrong actions. Instead of letting our thinking lead to wrong actions, we should let good actions lead to right thinking. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, the Bible says here that Rachel envied her sister. You know, for probably the first time in the marriage process, when Rachel was married to Jacob, she is now envious of Leah. Her envious feelings are not scriptural. We're going to be envious. We're human beings, but I don't want you to think that it's okay to be envious of some. We would call that coveting in certain areas. And it's not good to covet. The Bible says we shouldn't covet. But she was envious. She was jealous of her sister, and probably for the first time. Remember, Leah is tender-eyed. Leah is tender-eyed. What's that mean? I don't know. I'm thinking since Leah was tender-eyed and Rachel was beautiful, that God is comparing the two. That's my thought process, my deductive reasoning. And so evidently, Leah wasn't the nicest catch. All right? She wasn't the beauty queen. Rachel probably was. Nobody really wanted to date Leah. Everybody probably wanted to date Rachel. And so we have Leah, who has probably always been envious of Rachel. Now we have Rachel envious of Leah. Probably the only other time that Leah and Rachel could have been envious of Leah is when she was supposed to get married. And Daddy didn't let her get married. He let Leah get married. Maybe there was some envy there. We don't know that in Scripture. We know that Jacob wasn't really particularly pleased that day. But we do know that here the Bible says that Rachel envied Leah. Wrong thinking usually leads to wrong actions. So what does Rachel do? She does what every good marital spouse does when there's a problem. She blames the other mate. It's your fault, Jacob, that I'm not pregnant. Now, I want you to know that when there's an argument in a marital relationship, it's usually not helpful to start blaming the other person. When my wife would like to blame me, I have to remind her, honey, could I do any wrong? Now there'll be a debate at home. My wife and I, we don't argue. We just have intense fellowship. But she blames Jacob for not being able to have children. And of course, Jacob doesn't take this well. He's not too happy about this. He actually says something. Hey, am I God? Who died and made me God? Basically is what he's saying. Am I in the stead of God? You're saying that I did this? I think that I can have kids. I've had a few. She's upset. Wrong thinking usually, I'm having a hard time speaking tonight, usually leads to wrong actions. She blames Jacob for her not being able to bear children. And usually wrong thinking produces wrong actions, which produces wrong results. Wrong thinking, wrong actions, wrong results. Now she's doing some things that she shouldn't be doing. She's taking matters into her own hands. The first thing that she does, and this is from verse 3 to verse 21. There's a lot of things she does that isn't probably wise. The first thing she does is she gives her handmaid to her husband. Now, this didn't really work out so well for his grandpa, right? His dad, as far as I could tell, never did this. And so evidently, this is something that he was probably thinking, well, my grandpa did it, and he was a swell guy. But this is not going to be a, this is not necessarily a healthy thing. I put this question to you. Here's a question for you to mull over. I texted a good preacher friend last week, and I wanted him to mull over it too. And all he could come back with was, Here's the question. I believe that God intended for man and one man and one woman to marry, right? I don't believe that one man and four women should get married. Got me? And if do you all believe that that would be scriptural? Do you believe? Wait a second. Did I ask that wrong? Do you believe that marrying one woman would be scriptural and not marrying four would be scriptural? Yes. You would believe that it would be wrong to marry more than one woman at a time, right? That would be called polygamy. I think that's wrong. I don't think it's scriptural. God never intended it. If he did, he would have given Adam several wives. So here's the question. Are you ready? I don't have an answer. Well, I do have an answer, but I'm not going to give it to you tonight. Who was God's perfect mate for Jacob? So you just think about that and mull that over. Who was God's perfect mate for Jacob? Some would argue Rachel. Some might argue Leah. I don't think anybody's going to argue the two concubines. This was a foolish thing. It doesn't produce the bitterness, I suppose, that maybe Sarah felt when she gave Hagar to Abraham, but it does not produce a healthy family atmosphere. But Jacob, not probably... Now, you got to remember, Jacob is right at 90... He's right at 91 years of age right now. Okay? And so he's pretty... He's getting up there, and he sees this handmaid. His wife Rachel says, you take my handmaid to wife, and so he marries her. I guess he figures, if I have two wives, what's the problem of having three? And so he marries her, and he has two children by her. Leah says, oh, okay. Now, the Bible says that she had stopped producing children. And he says, two can play at this game. Jacob, I want you to take my handmaid. Now he has four wives. That's four anniversaries to remember. It's four birthday cards and gifts. Hey, now he's got four wives. She has two children. And now the fun story. Brother Thacker came to me last week and says, I want to talk to you. I've read ahead. I've cheated. He cheated. He read ahead, which is not cheating. He read ahead and did some study on his own, and he gave me something that I hadn't really thought about. And so I did some research this past week on it. And so here we have Reuben. Reuben, and then and studying this stuff, it opens up a whole new... I just assumed Reuben was a whole lot older than Joseph. Really, he's not. Reuben is 4 years old when he goes out into the fields to collect these mandrakes. Four. Now, they've only been married... 4 or 5 years, maybe close to 7 years now, because remember, he leaves after 14, he got married at seven, so all the children are before they leave. So all the children are born all the way up to Joseph, so he couldn't be more than 7 years older than Joseph, but it's believed that he is 4 years of age at this particular time. So Reuben goes into the field, And as a little kid, he goes into the flower and he picks these things that are called mandrakes. There has been great debate over what a mandrake was. Do I know exactly what it is? Not particularly, but I do have some descriptions that I was given and some descriptions that I looked up. A mandrake is a plant that was something like a carrot, but not a carrot, maybe closer to a ginseng. It was one author that said it was called a love apple. There's reasons for that. The word mandrake comes from the root word meaning love apple. The plant has a white and reddish blossom and are sweet smelling. Basically, it is believed that it was used for romantic getaways. Women would use it to help conceive. Men would use it to help the marital relations. The word that we're looking for is an aphrodisiac. And so this plant was used for that, and it was a very special plant. And so he's bringing in this plant, and Rachel sees it. Leah has it. Rachel sees it. Remember, we're talking about wrong thinking leads to wrong actions, which produce wrong results. Rachel is taking matters into her own hands. How many times have you and I have tried to take matters into our own hands? All right? So she's taking... She doesn't like the results, so she's trying to take matters into her... She's trying to fix the problem. Because obviously it was Jacob. And if it's not Jacob, then who else could it be? And so she sees these mandrakes, and she wants to buy them. Evidently, they're not like out in the fields. And so you have to find them. And so Reuben finds them. She offers to buy them from Leah. Leah says, okay, you can buy them. Why do you suppose, don't answer, but why do you suppose that Rachel wanted these mandrakes? Well, because she wants to get pregnant. It's not a God thing. It's a medical thing in her brain. And so she purchases these mandrakes by giving her husband... Evidently, they took turns where he lived by giving her husband to Leah for that night. Jacob's coming in from the field. Now, can you imagine this confusing marriage? This would just be awful. He's coming home. He doesn't even know where he's going home to. He's thinking he's going to Rachel's house. Leah comes out and says, nope, you got to come to my house. I bought you. The romance. What'd you buy me for? How much am I worth? A couple of mandrakes. Oh, okay. So, Leah and Jacob, Leah conceives again. Oh, now why do you suppose that happened? Because God's teaching Rachel a lesson. Friend, God has a perfect will. God has a perfect way. And when you and I try to outsmart God, He'll always find a way to teach you that that's not going to work. So now Leah, who is not able to have children, remember, she's not able to have children because she's already given her handmaid away, God opens her womb up again. And not only does she have one more child, she has three more children. That gives her seven children, the number of completion. She has six men and one daughter. Now, friend, I want us to know that in this story, there's a lot of things there. But we shouldn't try to get ahead of God. We should trust the Lord. Again, I'm not saying that we don't do our part. We do our part. In everything, there's always a part that man and woman have to do in order to fulfill the will of God. We just can't sit on the couch and expect God to just miraculously fill our brains with spiritual thought if we never open the Bible. We don't get scriptural knowledge through osmosis. All right? But the Bible does teach us the principle of working. You know, I take you back to this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 21:31. Often, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We plan, we prepare, we work, like everything depends upon us. We trust because everything depends upon God. So we do our part. But I don't see Rachel doing her part. I see Rachel trying to finagle the system. And she's wrong. God opens up Leah's womb and gives Leah three more children. But I'm thankful that the lesson was learned and God was gracious. Rachel did learn the lesson. She found out that God is the one in charge. Mandrakes weren't the answer. We have nowhere in Scripture that says because of these mandrakes she was able to conceive. I mean, Leah had three children. I suppose that these mandrakes ran out somewhere along the way. All right? You know, even if every child was born 9 months exactly apart, that'd still be a good length of time. And so I doubt if these mandrakes were even involved. But there is a God in heaven. And she found out that God was in charge, and I believe that when she learned this lesson, we're not given that she learned this lesson, but she probably learned this lesson, that I see that God does end up blessing her. In verse 22, we find out that God remembered Rachel. And when the Bible says God remembered Rachel, that's not that God forgot Rachel. That means God came and did something special for Rachel. God doesn't forget you. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived. Well, the Bible says God hearkened unto her. What does that mean? That means she had to be, she finally got the idea, right? It's not mandrakes, it's Him. I'm going to stop going to the plants and I'm going to go to the Savior. I'm going to stop going over here and trying to figure it out myself, blaming Jacob, letting my handmaid be my mother, the bearer of my children, or letting the medicine or whatever thing that I can use to help me get pregnant. I'm going to go to Him. Evidently, she went to God because God hearkened unto her. God doesn't hearken unless somebody harks. Right? So she goes to God finally. And God hearkens unto her and opens her womb and blesses her and gives her Joseph. Wonderful, wonderful Joseph. You know, in all of Scripture, there's only a couple of men that there's nothing ever negative said about. Joseph's one of them. Daniel's the other. Joseph and Daniel, there's nothing ever bad said about these two men. These men love the Lord. And we get Joseph. We get Joseph. God does bless her with children in His timing, not hers. God's timing is of utmost perfection. Joseph would be used to save all of Jacob's family. But Leah's son would be used to have a descendant that would save the world. Judah. Judah's great-great-great-grandson, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is of the line of the tribe of Judah. And so we have God using these two women for His purpose. The scenario is not perfect, but God can take bad things and make good out of them. God can take a man that's married to four women, bad thing, and bring good out of it. And out of those four women, we have the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel, that you'll hear about for the rest of the world's existence. So you hear, we see Rachel's right lesson. What about Jacob? Well, in chapter 29, we find out that Jacob is deceived. The scriptural principle of reaping and sowing is evident in the way that Laban treated Jacob. Jacob treated Esau the same. Laban had Jacob cornered. Jacob was serving Laban. Laban took advantage of Jacob. Laban took advantage of a person that was down and out. Laban took advantage of a person that didn't have as much power and authority as he did. Laban, being the boss, took advantage of one of the workers. That's a frustrating position to be in. You ever know that? when you have somebody in authority taking advantage of their powers and putting their thumb on you unjustly, that's a very difficult thing to go through. And Jacob was experiencing that. And it's the old adage, you reap what you sow kind of a thing, because Jacob, way back 14 years ago, did the same thing to Esau. Here comes Esau. Esau's starving half to death, he thinks. He's dying. Jacob makes a bowl of soup. And he takes advantage of somebody that's in a weaker condition. God didn't forget that. Fast forward. Laban takes advantage of Jacob, who's in a weaker condition. We got to be careful about this, reaping what we sow. Not only was Jacob deceived by having to marry Leah, he was taken advantage of. You know, if you were to go fast forward to chapter 31, verse 7, you'll find that Jacob was taken advantage of by Laban 10 times. 10 different times Laban changed Jacob's wages. 10 times. We'll do it for this. Okay, we'll do it for that. Jacob does it. Oh, I'm not going to do that for you. I'll give you half of what I said. I mean, what are you going to do? Take it back? 10 times Jacob was taken advantage of. Not only is Jacob deceived, but now Jacob's taken advantage of, and it's not good. This is a very hard thing, but we have a different Jacob than we had 14 years ago. We have a Jacob who is trusting God to get him through these hard trials. What do we find in verse 27? One of the most interesting verses in this chapter. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Ooh, friend, that's who I want to be right there. I want to be like a Jacob. I want people to see my life, and I want people to say, by experience, my life is better off for knowing Nathan Barker than for not knowing Nathan Barker. By experience, my life is blessed because of Nathan Barker. That's what happened here. Jacob says, I want to leave. Laban said, oh, please stay with me. I have learned by experience, Jacob, that I'm blessed because of you. Jacob's a new man. Who's blessing him? God. Do you realize that you could be that same kind of a person? Have you ever met somebody that's saved and knows Christ and they come into an environment of a working atmosphere, and when they step into that working atmosphere, all of a sudden it seems like everything just starts to go right? The finances of the business start to get stronger. The economy. Well, maybe. All of a sudden, the business seems to flourish a little bit. And when that person leaves, everything goes back the way it was. I've witnessed that. I've witnessed good people coming into environments that knew God and were blessed by God. They had the hand of God upon their life. And everything they touched, it seemed like God blessed. And that person was someone that God's hand was upon. And when that person walked out, everything went back to the way it used to be. And it wasn't nearly as good. That's the kind of person you could be. Some of you that are having jobs, you know, if you start depending upon God and you start taking things to God, God could bless you that way. When you walk in, things seem to go better because of the blessing that's on your life. Hey, is Victory Baptist Church more blessed because you're here? Is your job blessed because you're there? Is your family blessed because of who you are? See, that's the kind of man Jacob was. And I want you to know that's the kind of man I want to be. I want to be able to walk in, and I want God's blessing upon my life to overflow and touch other people's lives. I don't want God just to bless me. I do want God to bless me. But I want God to bless me in such a way that it blesses you. You know, if you're filled, a vessel that is filled has to overflow. And the overflow goes to everybody else. And that's what happened to Laban. Laban was blessed because of Jacob. And I want to be blessed because I want to be blessed because of you. I want our church to grow stronger because of you. I want you to walk into the church and, man, the atmosphere just kind of changed because of you. Do you have that relationship with Christ? Have you ever met anybody that could walk into the room and it just felt like everything's going to be okay now? I think my dad was one of those kind of people. When he walked into a situation, no matter how bad and how heartbreaking it was, when he walked into the room, it's okay now, Pastor Bob's here. That wasn't because of his personality. That was because of the power of God in his life. Amen. And that's what I want. Do you have that? Because it's just not promised to Jacob. I believe it's promised to children of God that are seeking to please Christ. Are you seeking to please Christ? Well, Jacob is blessed of the Lord, and Jacob trusts the Lord. I like this, and now we're going to get to the confusing part, and I won't spend much time on it because it is a little bit confusing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that I see Jacob using his noggin, and I see a miracle of God. Evidently, somewhere along the way, Jacob had studied, because he was a shepherd for 91 years, Jacob had studied sheep and knew sheep very well and knew the breeding habits of sheep, and he knew genetics somehow. I don't know who taught him, maybe Abraham taught him, but he knew genetics somehow, and he knew that if strong sheep mate with strong sheep, they'll produce strong sheep. And if weak sheep produce with weak sheep, they'll produce weak sheep. And so guess what kind of sheep he took, and guess what kind of sheep he gave to Laban. So he used his noggin. Hey, you know what? You're to use your noggin too. God has given you a brain. Use it. It's just not to hold your head in a circumference. It's to be used. And you know, you can develop your brain. People are like all the time, well, I don't read much. Oh, I don't like reading. Well, I don't either. But I don't like being dumb more than I don't like reading. Fair? Pick up a book. It's okay. Pick up a good book. Not a coloring book. Go home and read that. Hey, read. My dad would tell me, son, readers are leaders. And so, I read. Just got done buying 3 books last week. Hey, read. Read books that are going to help you spiritually. Read books that are going to help you mentally. Read books that are going to help you physically. Read books that are going to encourage you. Read books. They're out there. Study to show yourself approved, the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved. You know why a lot of people are leaving church? It's too hard. I don't understand. You know why a lot of people don't use the King James Bible? It's so hard. I don't understand it. It was written on an 8th grade level. The NIV was written on a 10th grade level. Maybe it's an academic problem. Maybe America's gotten dumber when it comes to schooling. Hey, we need to be readers, and readers are leaders. I see that somehow Jacob understood this, and he used this, and you'll see it there in Scripture. And then there's the God part of it that's a miracle that I don't understand. I don't know what taking a stick and peeling off some bark has anything to do with having sheep. Now, if you're a shepherd, maybe you're like, well, that's exactly how we do it. Well, I didn't know that. But if that's the case, I'm going to start me a tree farm somewhere and take it to a shepherd's field and say, hey, I got a bunch of wood right here. You can have a lot of sheep. Evidently, I don't know if it was he was building corrals with this, and he wanted to make sure that his sheep got in this kind of corral and this kind of sheep got in that kind of corral. I don't know, but I do know that God did a miracle and God prospered Jacob greatly. He exceeded. He abounded in prosperity. He abounded in his handmaids. He abounded in his men servants, and he abounded in his sheep. And the Bible says that God did all this for him. But I want to take you to verse number 31, and then we'll be done. It all is about God here. Jacob trusted the Lord. Laban said, all right, Jacob, what do you want me to give you? And Jacob says, I don't want you to give me nothing. So guess where Jacob started off at? Zero. He said, I don't want you to give me anything, but here's what I do want us to do. And by the time it was all said and done, God gave Jacob everything. Now listen, you don't need man, you don't need the world to make you prosperous. You need God. It doesn't make sense that you keep giving more to God and He keeps giving more back to you. It doesn't make sense when men tell me that they give 110% of their weekly income, they give 110% in the offering. That, and I'm a math guy, remember, that doesn't make sense to me. I can't figure it out. I'm like, okay, well, if you got $100 and you gave $110, and then next week you get $120, but you give $130 or $40, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But I know of two people that used to do it. I know of one person personally that does it, 110%. I knew of another man, you know him too, J.C. Penney, gave 90% of his income to the church and kept 10. He said, I'm going to trade places with God. I'm going to give 90%. I'll just keep 10%. And if you've ever heard of J.C. Penney, well, maybe God prospered him. It doesn't make sense to me. But you know what? Making sense is not... We don't think on the same level as God. So some of us in here, we try to fix our own problems, like Rachel. And it usually doesn't work out how we think it's going to work out. Some of us try to connive like Laban. I got to get mine. I got to work the system so I can take advantage of people. And some of us can be like Jacob. Trust the Lord and see what He will do with your life. Where are you at? Who are you? You're going to be a Rachel, you're going to be a Laban, or you're going to be a Jacob. And you know what? There may have been periods of your life that you've been all three. But I tell you, Jacob is the happier lot. Jacob's the one that's blessed by God. Jacob's the one that God blesses others because of, not Rachel, not Laban, Jacob. And friend, in order for that kind of blessing to take into your life, you have to be saved. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? That's the first question. You're not going to be blessed if you're lost. You may have good things happen to you, but that's not going to be blessed. Blessing comes by accepting Jesus' free gift. That's the first step to being blessed like Jacob was blessed. Do you know for sure that you're saved? You say, yes, Pastor Nathan, I know I'm saved. Good. Are you dependent upon you or are you dependent upon God? That's what I get out of chapter 30. Who are you dependent upon? You dependent upon your own tricks or are you dependent upon God? God's the better lot. God's the better way. It's proven. It'll be proven in His life, and it's going to be proven in everybody's life. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We were joking around last night at prayer meeting, and something came out of every once in a while, something will come out of my mouth that's really good. And I'll look back and say, man, that was good. I need to write that down. But we were talking about votes, you know, the election's coming up. And I made this statement. I don't get a vote. God already has my vote. I was bought with a price. I'm not going to vote Republican or Democrat. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to find the principles that hold closer to the Word of God. And that's where God's going to place His vote. He's just going to use my finger or whatever I got to do in those machines. Do you realize that? Have you ever thought about that? I'm not going to, or I'm going to vote. Why? By golly, I've been a Republican for 25 years, and by golly, that's who I... If it says R, that's what I'm poking. I don't think that that's scriptural at all. Well, that's a D. If it's got a D, if it's got a donkey or an elephant, I don't think that's biblical at all. You, if you're saved, you've been bought with a price. You don't get a vote. God does. That's what came out of my mouth last night, and I was driving home thinking, man, that was pretty good. I wish I'd have thought of that before now. You know what? But it's true. It kind of caught me by surprise when I said it. I don't get a vote. God gets my vote. And so when you go to the election this year, this is free, don't cost you anything. When you go to the voting polls this year, you better make sure that whatever you do is blessed of God. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you, you pray about it and let God, who do you want me to vote for? You want me to vote for that person? Can I hold my nose when I do it? Sure. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. The governor, the senators, the city council, the president, he puts up one and putteth down another. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but the Lord is judge. He setteth up one, and he putteth down another. Hey, Psalm 75, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord. Some of you have been trusting your own intellect, your own ways. We don't even think about what we do, we just do. We stopped depending upon God a long, long time ago, and we just do. Get back to the place where you're asking God to help you do the right thing. God, do you really want me to go there? Do you really want me to wear this tie today? Do you really want me to wear these shoes? You really want me to drive? Which car do you want me to drive in the morning, God? Do we even ask those questions anymore? Well, that's nonsense. God don't have time for that. Says nobody that knows God. Because God wants you to take everything to Him in prayer. Trust Him. Stop trusting you. Trust Him.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.